Mosquito Lake residents and Haynesboro representatives debate the future of the shuttered school building. And it doesn't look likely that Haynes will get state help for a new sewer treatment plant this year. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. About 40 people gathered at the Klaheeny Valley Fire Hall Tuesday evening to talk about the future of the Mosquito Lake School building. It was similar to a meeting held earlier this year when the district shut down the school due to low enrollment. Some residents said they didn't know closing the school meant closing the building for other uses. Many want to use the building as a community center, but the Haynesboro is thinking about selling it. Borough Manager Dave Sosa attended the meeting, and the residents gathered around him put him on the spot. They asked why they can't use the school building for things like meetings and open gym, and why the borough wants to sell the facility that has served their community for about 30 years. Here's an exchange between resident Jim Stanford and Sosa.
Is the borough really saying to the people that live in the outer borough, excluding the town site, that we have no right for a facility of our own anywhere in the outer borough? Is that the position the borough's taking?
No, we're not. I think the position the borough is taking is we need to have the use identified for the facility, and we need to ensure that that use is a valuable use.
Sosa says when the school board decided to close the school, residents didn't present a plan to use the building for a community center, so money to run it like one was not included in the budget. The borough only budgeted $30,000 to maintain it at the bare minimum. Sosa says one option to fund a community center is to impose an additional tax on property owners in the area. Residents said they pay for services like the pool and open gym in town, so why couldn't some of that money go to services like that out the road? Here's Chuck Mittman.
It seems like we're the bastard child on the way it feels. Yeah, I haven't seen a single solitary service. Not privy to, but yeah, we'll help pay for the pool. We have to help pay for all those other things in there. Mm-hmm. And true, we get a chance to use those things, and they're all wonderful, wonderful things.
But we don't want to be forgotten, he said. Some people at the meeting were interested in trying to find a way to open the school again next year. Pat Warren pointed out parents at the meeting with babies and toddlers.
You have children coming up, so you have kids that are going to be school age in 2 or 3 years. So these young parents are going to have to take their kids to town school because you guys do not care about them out here.
Joe Ordonez said a community center could easily piggyback off of the school if it were open.
It's a lot harder road to get the community center without the school. With the school going, the building's already heated, there's already people running it, you know, there's money coming in a huge way from the state.
Haynes School District Superintendent Ginger Jewell, who was at the meeting, says it all comes down to enrollment. A school needs 10 students to get state funding. Haynes School Principal Cheryl Stickler says she surveyed Haynes families earlier this year, asking if they'd be willing to bus their students from town to Mosquito Lake School. No one said they were interested.
As these children get older and they're ready, they become school ready, it would be, I agree with you. Yes. Yes, they deserve to be served in their community. But the bottom line is we need 10.
Borough Assembly member George Campbell was also at the meeting. He says one problem is this. Some families in Mosquito Lake were not enrolling their kids in the school. He mentioned one parent he knows with 3 children.
She is not the only person I know of, and I'm sure that if all of you guys start asking each other, there's lots of children of that were here last year of the right age that aren't going to this school.
Towards the end of the meeting, it seemed like the main goal of the group was to open the building as a community center until there are enough students to run it as a school. Sosa, Jewell, and Campbell encouraged the residents to bring the borough a plan. If it's strong enough, it could be included in next year's budget, which will be put together in the next 5 months. Sosa says the plan should explore all the strengths and weaknesses of their proposal.
Take a look at the alternatives. Why isn't the children going to Club One a good idea? Where if it is a good idea, why is your idea better? You can't ignore the other opportunities that are out there. It's not just about your plan. It's about what else is going on and why it's a more valid option than some of the other options.
Sosa says the option to sell the building is still on the table. If the borough approved and budgeted for turning the facility into a community center, the funding wouldn't be available until next fiscal year, July 1st. People interested in forming a task force to create a plan are meeting next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Edie Granger says they are trying to convince the borough to let them use the Mosquito Lake School building for that meeting. The Skagway Municipal Water Department will be treating the water system with a chlorine solution beginning Thursday morning. They made that decision after water samples tested positive for coliforms. Coliforms themselves are not harmful, but they indicate conditions exist that could support harmful bacteria. The municipality says they are in contact with state officials. The precautionary measure of adding chlorine into the water will continue as necessary. You can contact Public Works with questions at 983-2297, and we'll have more details in our local news tomorrow. It doesn't look good for the Haynesboro to get state help for a new sewer treatment plant this year. Governor Bill Walker last week released his budget, but it was the budget drawn up by his predecessor, Governor Sean Parnell. Walker says he released it as a placeholder until he comes up with his own version, but he also said he planned to remove even more capital projects from the budget. The most important Haynesboro capital project being considered for the governor's budget was a $2 million request for the first phase of replacing the aging wastewater treatment plant. The project missed out on funding the last 3 years in the governor's budget. At the same time, funding for similar projects in the Department of Environmental Conservation's budget kept shrinking. 2 years ago, the state funded about $21 million in the wastewater and solid waste facility category. This year, funding for those projects dropped below $10 million. The Haynesboro submitted the wastewater treatment plant as a phased project, meaning the $2 million request was for only a portion of the project. The borough assembly earlier this year appropriated $100,000 for design work on the wastewater treatment plant, hoping that would help secure state funding. Governor Walker's administration has until February 18th to submit an amended budget for the legislature to consider. There will likely not be enough king salmon for commercial fisheries in the Stikeen and Taku rivers early next May. When they are open, the king salmon on the two southeast rivers provide some early season opportunity for gillnetters and trollers. Angela Denning reports.
The state's Department of Fish and Game came out with its latest king salmon forecast, and the numbers don't look promising. The data predicts a terminal run size of just over 30,000 fish in the Stikeen and just over 26,000 in the Taku. Those numbers give the Stikeen an allowable catch of just 210 fish in the U.S., not enough to hold openings. For the Taku, there's not enough fish for an allowable catch for either the U.S. or Canada. Although the Stikeen numbers are not enough to commercially fish, the numbers aren't the worst on record by any means. Tom Kowalski is the assistant area management biologist for the Petersburg-Wrangell area.
It does seem to be getting better. Our forecast is on an increase this year from last year, and last year's was better than the year before.
While king salmon have seen dramatic drops in fisheries all over the state in recent years, Kowalski says that's not the case here. He says there haven't been any huge decreases in numbers over the last 20 years. Rather, the runs have seen several ups and downs.
It's consistently up and down. We're sort of in like the 90s regime where it flirted between 20 and 30,000 fish for 7-8 years. And then we had another 7-8 years of much higher abundances in the 50s and 60s that we actually fished on. And now for the last 7-8 years, we've been back at the 20s and 30s level.
The last two fisheries on the Stikeen were in 2008 and 2012. In 2012, the fishing time ended early because the run wasn't as abundant as the state had predicted. The forecasts are just preliminary and could change after the first kings show up, likely in late May. Then an in-season forecast will be compiled with fresh data. At that time, subsistence fisheries could be called for the rivers. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks to Margaret Friedenauer and Angela Denning for help with this report.